Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Meta Nadia of MetaNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, filling in for our lovely Miss Cat of Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, this week for us. And this week, y'all, we'll be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. And together, y'all, they will take your call and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, called into the show, well then, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a few moments. But first, let's catch up with our co-host, Conjurement Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Nadia. Conjurement Ali.
Thanks, Miss Emily, for that wonderful introduction.
As you said,
Miss Cat is not with us today. She is away. They had a dear friend pass away, and they have to attend those matters. Diana Adler passed away, bravely struggling after having some health complications. And this was a dear friend of Miss Kat and Nagashiva both. She is the mother of Eileen Adler, who is the head of the shipping department of the Lucky Mojo. And so they are attending her funeral and remembering her, and I hope everyone sends their prayers to Eileen, as well as to Diana, wishing her a swift transition into her new state in spirit. Miss Cat will be back next week for Easter, so everyone can look forward to that. Until then, we have the wonderful Madam Nadia filling in, which I'm very excited about. Madam Nadia is a regular on our show and one of the fan favorites, so I'm happy to have her here. Before I ask Miss Nadia what she's been up to, some quick news about what I've been doing. I have been busy. I've just got back from my own travels, so I'm doing some catch-up work, as always, which seems to be the perpetual life of the root worker, is to play catch-up with emails and whatnot. So it's been fun doing that. I have been busy quite a bit with geomancy readings, which is not surprising because I've been on twice on the radio show with the lovely Kai Armand, who is our special guest, on Sacred Ground, talking about geomancy, and people are very interested about that. So I have been busy away scribbling life readings and casting charts, which is where I probably am most happiest. It's my favorite type of reading to do is life reading. And geomancy is always fun for me after astrology. I'd say those are the two types of readings that I enjoy the most. So it has been a fun week. Now let's check in with our lovely co-host, Madam Nadia, and see what she's been up to. Madam Nadia, what's going on in your world?
Well, my world is kind of pretty intense right now. I didn't even know if I was going to be here on time. I just was out, and we have this fabulous weather in the Midwest right now. It's freezing cold, slush, and part snow, part rain. And I was out thinking I'm going to get lunch with a friend. It took me forever to find parking, so I was driving like a maniac home to get to be on the show with you guys, because this is just one of my absolute favorite things to do in the world. And besides that, just, you know, busy. As yourself, Conjurement Ali, you know, I'm in dealing with academia right now. I'm in my last semester, so there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of readings, root work, interesting time of the year in general. This is so, all kinds of fascinating changes and astrological changes. I think we're, you know, we have a plenty on our hands here.
Yeah, well, I certainly won't tell you what the weather is like over here because it's terribly, terribly spoiled Southern California reading. But we do appreciate Southern California weather, I should say. We do appreciate you having you on the radio show. It's wonderful. And I can totally sympathize with how busy this time of year can be, especially in particular, you know, with school and finishing up academic pursuits. Spring is always a busy time of the year. You know, people can relax during summer, but before you get a chance to relax, you have to have that final, you know, push in spring. And it also brings out quite a bit of client work. People are asking about career questions. People are asking about success. People are asking about their future. There's something about spring that brings out that type of questions. And I find that fascinating because you can see certain seasonal things. For me, fall is always family matters because the holidays are coming up. So everyone's always asking about their family.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's always asking about, you know, will we all get together? Will my old lover come back? But spring is always questions about, well, am I going to be successful? Will I find a job? Is my money going to be good? Will
totally.
I graduate from the school? So I, it's fascinating how clients fall into the type of seasons also that, you know, we have to face with. And that, as an astrologer and a person who kind of looks at the meta, that is always a very interesting thing to take a look at. But before we go into a completely whole other can of worms, because that's a fascinating topic in itself, let's introduce our wonderful guest, Kai, see what he's doing, and then we can dive right into our discussion. So, Kai Armand, welcome. I'm so glad to have you on here.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, whoa, my gosh, my voice. Thank you so much for having me.
Kai Armand, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I will have to second my not wanting to hear about Ali's weather. when I was visiting him just a few months ago, it was the dead of winter. I mean, New York has been hit with snowstorm after snowstorm. And all of a sudden, it was like I was, you know, the reality television shows, you know, just the visiting for him for a few days. And then I came back to snowstorm after snowstorm. So it's, gratefully, it's getting better, but it's not yet L.A. weather, so I don't want to hear it.
Even my computer itself is waiting for the sun, and it's, you know, how pale and transparent I am. No, we need vitamin D here, for real.
Well, I will definitely spare you guys. Kai, what has been new in your world? How is the radio show going? What new and exciting things are coming up for you?
The radio show has been amazing. Thank you so much for not only being on once, but being on twice in the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Truly excellent episodes. Yesterday we had had guest shaman Christina Pratt, who's someone who I respect tremendously. I'm so grateful that she was willing to be on. It was such a great show. If you're listening now, I'd go over to On Sacred Ground and listen to it. She has incredible things to say about the world that we're living in and our unique time. And of course, getting ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival coming up this May.
Yes.
I have spent a lot of time in front of my computer writing for something that's going to be being released. And for those of you who have gone to the HoodooHeritageFestival.com, I'm sure you've seen some of the sneak peeks at some of the great, great, great books that are coming out. I think we have like 5 books coming out this May. It's just unbelievable.
It is very, very exciting.
Truly grateful to be a part of it all, and to be able to, I mean, definitely have made a lot of offerings to my spirits, thanking them for guiding me in that process, because writing the book is no joke.
No, it definitely isn't. But I have been privy to the back doors, if you will, or behind the scenes of it. And let me tell you, you all are in for a treat. Kai's book is going to be amazing. And the workshop that you're going to be teaching also, which is tied to that, this idea of deliverance. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic workshop. I'm very sad that I'll be missing out this year, but you really, this year is going to be, I think, better than any other year before. And some of the, the classes they're teaching are just fantastic. I really, really hope people sign up for the festival, because you don't want to miss out both on the amazing books that are coming out, as well as the fantastic workshops that are going to be taught. But every day you get to be taught by someone as skilled and knowledgeable as Kai.
Aw, thanks so much.
Oh, of course. Well, let's dive into, speaking of the skills of Kai, let's talk about our topic or panel discussion for today. We're bringing up a topic that you brought up earlier. This is part two of it, and this is working with plant spirits. It was such a popular panel discussion that we could have gone on and on and on for quite some time. For people who missed, go and listen to Kai's previous appearance on the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Woodwork Network, and you will have a fantastic time listening to the great discussion about working with plant allies and what that means for each individual person, how our approaches differ too. Because despite the fact that all three of us were Tauruses on that show, we had quite different approaches to the way we work with plants and how we add them as allies. So this is going to be part two. We'll have Kai start us off. Let us know a little bit about how you work, which direction you want to take this discussion in, and we'll all start pitching in. We'll have Matt and Nadia give her perspective and me as well. So Kai, tell us, when we say plant allies, what are we talking about? How do you work with this type of material?
Well, for me, plants just form a huge role in my life, and they actually have before I came to Hoodoo Rootwork. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned in the last episode that I was on that I was feeling a strong calling to the plant world that actually led me to apprentice with an herbalist. And led me to my first ally, which was catnip, which I would drink a tea of. And I remember that catnip's a really interesting thing to say last episode, too, about the energy of catnip. And it was so great because I was talking about catnip from a sort of a shamanic perspective, understanding the plant, because we're talking about people. Mm. We're talking about people with personalities, personalities that go far beyond a two-line description, that go far beyond, protection, love. What kind of protection? What does this really feel like? I always use the metaphor that I have two friends who are lawyers. One of them is a criminal justice lawyer. The other one is a, family court lawyer. I'm not going to go to them for the same thing. So when we have when we create these correspondence lists and we're just saying, Angelica Root and Basil, they're just both for protection. Those are two different kinds of protection. And what is really the perspective that is needed? What is the medicine that's needed for this situation? And to me, that delineation, that differentiation is, to me, one of the strongest aspects of powerful root work.
That is so true. That is absolutely true. What are, for you, you mentioned some herbs, but what are some herbs that and plant allies that you turn to regularly that are your power allies, the ones that you know will come through for you, that you add to almost every work, or that are unique, it's a loved one, you're going to that herb?
I would say that I'm still working on connecting some of my shamanic work to my root work. So, and then a lot of my personal life, personal things that I'm working through, things often look a bit more shamanic. So I might be drinking a lot of teas of a particular plant or taking a tincture for a long period of time. Some of my personal plant allies that I work with, in teas and tinctures, inviting their perspective into my life in that way, are catnip, hawthorn, and fennel. Hawthorn is one of my favorites because hawthorn, if you look up hawthorn, you immediately see people talk in naturopathy or holisticism, people automatically talk about the heart. And they say, it's great for lowering cholesterol, but hawthorn also has this perspective that's about bringing courage to the heart. It's such a wonderful plant for cultivating leadership. and cultivating strength of heart, especially when you see when it seems like a lot of doors are closed. We talk about the Eight of Swords card, and we see that woman who's all bound up. But, you know, most of us cartomancers, we look at that and say, come on, she can get out of those bindings. Why isn't she? To me, I would argue that she just needs to take some hawthorn tincture because she's lacking courage.
I have to say something because I remember one time Kai giving me a reading and that card showed up and he went into like, look at this. This woman, she has, her eyes are covered. It's like toilet paper. Nadia, open your eyes. Take it off. Have your courage. Just do it. I'll never forget it. This is like the best Eight of Swords description I've ever had in my life. So yeah, I can attest to the power of higher mind with Eight of Swords and that specific blend.
You know, it's the stuff that you live through. It's the stuff that you live through yourself that becomes your greatest medicine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very true. I actually mentioned in the chat here what's fascinating is that catnip is a powerful attractive, right? It works for attraction. It works for in hoodoo. And hawthorn and fennel both have very powerful protective qualities in hoodoo, specifically around home and hearth. So I find that interesting. You know, I think it tells a lot about the type of work we do, as well as our own spirit when we find the resonances with our plant allies. Like, what do we work with? That tells us a lot, I think. And then, you know, I'm not psychoanalyzing, but there is a certain resonance between the spirits that we work with and our own character and nature. So you have catnip, hawthorn, and fennel. I think that's very important. It shows us the type of work that you do, the type of power that you draw on. And both fennel and hawthorn having that connection in hoodoo, at least, to those protective qualities. I think that speaks a lot. Madanata, what about you? When we see plant allies, what does that mean to you? And how do you work with plants and herbs and roots?
Well, first of all, I have to say that, you know, when Kai says, I work with a plant for a long time, Kai and you are Tauruses, I'm a triple Gemini. We don't do anything for a long time. We get it really quickly, and we know if it's working or not. So this is my experience with herbs, and with luckily, I think that I can vibe with many, many, many different plants. But for instance, which is really funny because I'm known for my love work and glamour work and all that stuff. Catnip is not my best friend, but when you say Damiana, this is my whole other, and it's just like Kai is saying, both of these are known to attract, and they have a sexual, you know, vibe to them, but they're very different. And I think that this is also tells you like what kind of work, you know, each of us is doing. It's really interesting to hear about the allies of the conjurer or the magician. I love working with cardamom. Cardamom is successful for me, for beautifying, for attracting, for creating beauty on all levels. And I've been very, very lucky with that. Roses always, I can put rose in anything. Mm-hmm. I can curse with roses, I think, and it will be perfectly fine. And one of the sort of the less traditional things, I think, for women, because we usually don't hear it about women, we hear it about guys, but I'm very successful with calamus. I love calamus. It's so deep. It's so powerful. You really need just, you know, if you know how this guy works, you don't need a lot of it to make an impact. What are your allies and favorite plants?
Yeah, there I have a few, but I love that you mentioned cardamom because there's an old trick that I know about cardamom. When you take cardamom and you put it in your mouth, and when you like someone, you crack the cardamom, right? Cardamom's a little seed-like thing. And in Middle Eastern and Mediterranean cultures, cardamom is also often used in tea. It would freshen up tea, gives it a little brightness to it. But you take the cardamom and you crack it in your mouth and then you say their name, whisper, and you blow either on your hands and then touch them or you blow directly on them. You get your breath on them, right? Like don't go creeping up on them and blowing on their neck. That's not gonna work. But if you say their name lightly as you talk to them and then blow out, it's a way of getting to to make that person fascinated. It's a fascination technique, a mesmerizing.
Yeah.
So
it's
very, very powerful work, Cardamom. I can attest to that. I love working Cardamom. But for me, the herbs and roots and spirits that I work with very frequently, and I think this tells a lot about who I am as a person as well, or the type of work that I do with, is first and foremost calamus, like you mentioned. Calamus is an influencer. It's one of the most powerful herbs for me. I work with calamus. It's also quite a masculine root. It has the same effect that catnip has on men. Women wear catnip to make men sniff around. Calamus has that same effect on women. Men use calamus for that purpose. If you put a little bit of calamus in your work, in your love work, it has a very, very powerful effect on women. But it can be used by anybody because it is a very, very powerful influencer. It gets people to see things your way, to do things your way, to say what you want them to say, and think what you, And it's really good, and as a person who does a lot of influence work, calamus is my go-to. I work with calamus as incense. I work with calamus in the candle work, in my jar work, in my doll babies. I use it as much as I can, and it is a very powerful ally for me. When I put calamus in my work, I get what I want, and it's great. And people need to understand, when I say influence work, that's the great thing about calamus, is it can be used in a variety of different conditions. You need a raise, a little bit of calamus on your boss. You need someone to love you, mix a little bit of calamus with some love herbs, and you now influence them in that way. If you have a court case, right, you can sway a judge. You put some court case herbs together, throw in a little bit of calamus. And that's what I like about it, is because it is an influencing root or the plant ally, that I can call upon in a variety of different conditions. The next one that is very big for me is master root. I use master root in a lot of things. And so you can see kind of a theme emerging, right? Influence, mastery, control, a lot of about self-discipline, self-control, and influencing and influencing the world around me. And then the third one that my go-to is John the Conqueror. John the Conqueror root is a powerful, powerful root. And it's one that people really, I think, misunderstand. It's not just a luck root. That's what people kind of think of it. Or just a guy's root. That's not what it is at all. It's about vitality. It's about success. It's about power. It's about mastery. John the Conqueror is what I call the blessed root. People who embody John the Conqueror, the spirit, are those people that seem to kind of get what they want with little difficulty, right? And that's the spirit, or the legends of John the Conqueror speak about a person who was not the brightest tool in the shed or whatnot, but always managed to get one up on everyone else, seemed to kind of slip through all the troubles and potholes and difficulties that were around him, which is also why John the Conqueror is used for blockbuster work, to break through barriers. It has that ability to overcome any obstacles so that you remain the conqueror. So I love John the Conqueror. Those are the kind of three that I work with regularly, but there's a lot more for different conditions. What I want to ask both of you, and we'll go to Kai first and then you, Madam Nadia, is how do you connect with those roots? Because some of the stuff we're talking about goes beyond mere correspondences, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about plant allies, right? We're going, there's a set of, correspondences that you can find online and books and whatnot. And those are the traditional correspondences, right? This is good for this. But a plant ally is connecting with that plant on a spiritual level so that you're able to kind of unlock its green mysteries, unlock the secret aspect of it. Why is it that it's when you realize that calamus is more than, a compelling herb or a compelling root. It's for something else as well. It's when you realize that rose isn't just a love flower, but also used for prophecy and dreams. That's what we're talking about, being able to kind of unlock the hidden side of plants. So my question is, how do you get to that point where you look beyond the correspondences and you're able to build that connection? What are some of the things that you do, Kai, to help build that?
Well, when I'm working with a plant, I ask it to wake up, and I'm listening. I actually don't just add plants to my root work. I'm actually telling my plants, this is what's happening, and what perspective are you bringing to the situation? Mm-hmm. What's this going to look like now that you are bringing who you are, now that I'm calling you in as a counselor into this experience? And in my inner eye, seeing the situation change. And to me, you know, I'm always for, if you're wanting to be a root, if you're wanting to work with roots, candle, yes, do your candles, do your bath, but also just take this plant matter, put it on a cloth, and just sit with it. Just breathe it in. Just, you know, look at what this plant looks like whole, you know. So often we have these plants in their diced up form. Look at what this plant looks like, a whole. You know, imagine going inside it. What is it telling you about who it is? I will say this, and, you know, this might be out there, but when you are actually close enough with certain plants in your life, you don't need the plant matter necessarily in your there. Because just like a in your life, just like you can call on a helping spirit, you know, I can call on an animal helping spirit I have in my life. I have absolutely walked through some very sticky situations in my life and just thought, God, I wish I had a great plant right now for cleansing myself. And I just think, well, what would that be? That would be lemongrass. I work with lemongrass almost every single day. We're homies. And I will just say, hey, lemongrass, can you give me some? And I will feel it immediately, the energy shift around me as if I had just done a bit of a lemongrass bath. This isn't to say we don't need any plant matter, but recognizing that these are spirits and that they deserve the level of respect and that they are as versatile as so many of the other spirits that we're working with.
Interesting. You're talking about connecting to them on a very different level, not just physically, but on a spiritual level. And it's fascinating to hear your approach to that. That is great. And I think bringing plants into your life, the way you mentioned lemongrass, right, and in your life, it's not just an ingredient you add, but part of the circumstances and conditions. That shows the type of spiritual connection you're developing. It's a network, right, where every condition is also spiritually tied up into the urban root itself. That's a very fascinating way of looking at it. Madam Nadi, what about you? What are some things that you do to develop that connection with your plant allies or opening up the kind of knowledge that you need with them?
Well, I really want to put it out there before we go into our special ways that I think we all start from going to the definitions and starting to use plants like that. It's
absolutely.
Like, fake it till you make it. You can't just go and jump into, you know, the whole world of plants and hoodoo or any other tradition and expect that you just, like, connect with it. So, guys, whoever is out there and listening, just don't think that this is how it happens. It's years of trial and error and making your connections. Now, my connections, again, you know, it's much more heady connections. I communicate with consciousness or spirits of the plants of any item that I use. When I start having a communication with a certain plant or herb, I know that I'm starting to get how it's working. And, you know, and I'll be there and I'll think, what do I need to use? And I'll see those plants or I hear them. And those that I don't hear, I know that, you know, either I shouldn't be using them or, you know, we're not on talking terms yet. You know, I didn't prove myself. Who knows, you know? And I also want to say that it depends. I think sometimes our go-to plants change because of the spirits that we work with. For instance, before I was very close with Saint Cyprian, I didn't use a lot of calamus. I didn't use a lot of bay. But when Saint Cyprian became an integral part of my work, those two became an integral part of my work. And by God, I think I put in like 90% of stuff. And especially when I work with him. And this is where my I feel very, very unique relationship with Zepp, especially as protective herbs, but for me, okay? Not it's not just by me connecting with them and working with them, we have an understanding. We have something.
Right.
And I also think that both of them, like if you think about the consciousness of plants or how, you know, it's just like people and personality. It's just what Kai said. But for me, both of them feel very old and very, very ancient. Very wise, you know. That's why it's like you can deepen and deepen and deepen into them, and you're going to find more and more and more, and you can utilize them in anything you want. Because I think truly, if I'm going to have both of them in my pocket and I'm going to be like on, you know, on an island or whatever, you know, people ask you, what would you bring? I could do a lot of with them with just those two. So, yeah, that's kind of my perspective on things.
That's absolutely true. And I think I want to highlight something that you said. It was very, very important that you start with the correspondence. This is my any type of, this is how I teach and this is how I learn myself, is you start off with tradition. You start off with the path that's been worn. You start off with the legacy that has been passed down. You start off the lore that has been passed down, because it is important. That is where you start off.
Yes.
And I'm often quite frustrated when I don't see that happen, because I see that it leads to a lot of confusion on that person's part, right? That's when we end up getting people who are using herbs and roots in whatever way they feel like, not because they've developed a deep connection with them, because they're mistaking the idea of a deep connection with do whatever you want mentality, and that's not what we're talking about. It isn't a do whatever you want mentality at all. It's about building a personal connection. But you can only build that personal connection by first going to the correspondences, first developing the lore, the knowledge, getting to know the background, the history. I'm often amazed at the people who want to work with the type of green magic, if you will, that is in hoodoo and a lot of other folk traditions, but have absolutely no interest in going out into the world and seeing these plants live, right? For them, they are just ingredients that you find in little packages, and that's a problem. Right? And this is why Miss Cat has such a fence. She lives it, right? It's right on her property. She picks those herbs and those roots, and that's a very important aspect of it. I'm not saying you have to have your own garden in order to be a root worker, but I am saying you need to have a connection with these things. And if you don't start off with, if you can't go out into the green world, and if you can't start off with the traditional correspondences, then there's a lack there, something missing. This is a technique that I believe in firmly with when it comes to any type of knowledge. Start off with the base understanding. You have to build your foundation first before you allow spirit to guide you in other directions. If there isn't a foundation, then you get lost. That's when you end up in weird places and things just no longer make sense. So for me, that is important. I think you're absolutely right about that. And that is when herbs and roots, once you've developed that connection, that's when they open up things that you didn't even consider before. I'm also fascinated that we all have such very different approaches. Kai is talking about a really deep kind of metaphysical connection. And I use the term metaphysical with an emphasis on the meta. And you're talking about it in a very Gemini fashion, right? A type of quixotic spiritual connection that's quick, that's fast, that speaks to you, you hear it, right? That's very fascinating. Yep. For me, it's very tactile. When I develop a connection, I touch herbs. How do they feel? I pick up different master roots, and how do they feel different to me? How does master root feel different from the John the Conqueror? I smell them. What is the smell? What are the differences in the smell? And they'll invoke certain feelings and sensations and thoughts. How do they look, as Kai mentioned? How do they look different to me? So it is very, for me, it's a very sensory act that triggers spiritual insight, that sparks psychic insight. And I touch the herbs, I smell the herbs, and I can do this, and this plays out in the type of work that I do. I can smell the differences in my oil. I can pick up a love oil and touch it and smell it and go, this is good for passion, but I want a little bit more love. I'm going to put rose in here. Like, that's how I do it. I don't do it in a recipe formation. I start off with the recipe, right? I start off with the core recipe that's been passed down from my teacher to me. I start there. And then spirit leads me into a different direction. And I can customize it and tailor it and allow it to kind of shape and come alive. And that's the key right there, is you start with the base foundation of knowledge. That's how you build it, right? That's your base. And then you allow spirit to bring it to life. And that's only done through time, through patience, and whichever means you connect with spirit. I know people who believe that you need to hold a root or an herb in your hand for 48 hours, go to sleep with them and carry it all day before you really develop the connection. People sincerely believe that. And other people mention things that Kai did or you did, or they're more tactile like I am, where they have to touch, smell, and look at it. So there's a variety of different ways to connect with spirit. But once you do, that's when your work comes alive. We only have a few more minutes, but let's go over really briefly, if we can, we can go really quick. When was that moment where you realized that there's another way of working with herbs? Was there, now Kai, you mentioned that you've been doing shamanic work and work with plant medicine long before hoodoo, that you were involved in hoodoo. But for you, was there a moment where you realized there's something more here? When did it all kind of click in your head?
Sure. I don't know if I mentioned this during the last episode, but I remember there was a spell I was doing years ago where someone had stolen something and trying to figure out, well, how do I compel this person to bring it back? And this was really early in my hoodoo practice. So I know there are spells specifically for that purpose, but I didn't know any at the time, and I was just sort of thinking about, you know, various plant medicines and how they would apply to that. And I just kept hearing in my ear, bay leaf, bay leaf, bay leaf. And I had a one, you know, to me, bay leaf was for success. That's it. And I finally grabbed some bay leaf and I said, why are you talking so loudly? What's going on here? And bay leaf said, you want this person to act honorably. I'm a plant of honor. Huge turning point for
me.
That is absolutely beautiful. Madam Nadi, what about you? What was it for you when it clicked?
You know, I have very strong memories from my childhood of playing outside with different plants and thinking about putting them together and creating all kinds of potions and stuff like that. I remember telling, you know, I had a neighbor with a dog, and the dog had a broken leg, and I told her, like, you need to put this and this and that and boil it in milk and give it to the dog, and she looked at me like I was a freak. So I understood early on that I'm special, but it was really, sorry about the sarcasm, but it's really, I think that was my, that was the time where I could experience plants in their total, and not just in little, like, art, and I think that sort of stayed from that time.
Thank you. Well, we have run out of time. We really could talk about this over and over again and have more, because there's so much more to talk about. But thank you both for such a fantastic discussion. But let us have Ms. Tanley come in and lead us on to our next section. Hopefully you'll both come back and we'll have more conversation. So, Ms. Tanley.
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your host, Conjurman Ali, and this week's very special guest host, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, and also Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. We'll be right back. And y'all, we'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tanley, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first new client. Our first new client is calling in from area code 914 from New York, from New Rochelle. This is Debbie. Debbie, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you're a loyal listener, and thank you so much for tuning in each and every Sunday with us. And here we go. And she writes, her brief situation is synopsis. You've got a couple of colleagues at work that have some issues with you. You haven't done anything to them. You basically keep to yourself. And recently you found something on your chair and felt you needed to cleanse yourself or cleanse it thoroughly, your chair thoroughly. This is the has tried to put root work on you. Just this Monday, after watching a movie, you right went to my door and opened it and found whitish powder on the glass of the storm door. You can see the hand mark that the person wiped it on the glass and made sure some of it got in between the glass and the frame. It was not there long, maybe 20 minutes. I cleansed it thoroughly. What can I do? I have Blockbuster oil, crystals, and sachet powder on order and have several Blockbuster candles burning in the church. What else can I do? I've been dealing with negativity from others for a long time. I feel like my finances are affected. I've gotten depressed, did not pay the bills. My love life is at a standstill, and I've not been in a relationship for about 13 years. I want to clear this. Turning it back over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. If I understand the question, this is asking more of a how. But let's do a reading on this as well. What you want to know is what's kind of going on here. You've seen some negativity has been thrown your way. Some tricks have possibly been laid for you. And so what we'll do is we'll have Madam Nadia do the first reading, followed up by Kai, seeing what's going on here, what you can do, will you be able to get out of it? And then we'll talk about some actual strategies. Does that sound good to you?
Great. That's great. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Let's have Madam Nadia take over.
Hello, my dear, and thank you for the opportunity to read your fortune. I'm reading today with the playing cards, and it's the Alchemy edition of the Playing Cards Oracles by Ana Cortez, and it's amazing. This deck is just absolutely amazing. But what I'm going to do is that I'm going to shuffle my cards, and I'm going to draw four cards, and we'll see what's coming up for you. And my intention here is just to see if there are enemies, who these enemies are, and you know, what is being used against you. Because when we know what is used, then we can know what to prescribe to protect you or eliminate it. So let's see. Here goes. That is very, very interesting. Very interesting cards that I got here. I got two sevens. One is seven of hearts. The other one is seven of spades. I also have an eight of clubs and the nine of diamonds. Now, in this deck, there's also images here. So the seven of hearts is the sword of healing. When I see a lot of sevens, or sevens in particular, I know that there is some sort of magic that is involved. But you know, that this specific seven does not say there's a negative magic or negative influence that is involved. And with the ace of clubs, it tells us that there's a lot of fear, a lot of fear from people doing things to you, maybe past experiences, and then sort of stuck with you, and it's very, very traumatic. And in that condition, when we are very concerned or worried, even if somebody, like, sends a thought your way, it can change the whole ecosystem of your spiritual self, I want to say. And then I have another seven, and this is the seven of spades. This is the sword of destruction. So there is a certain energy here that's going up and down, up and down, healing and destruction, healing and destruction. There is opposition to you. There is certainly opposition to you, but there is, I think that just working on yourself and feeling like you can deal with that is going to be half of the work here. And you, the last card here is the nine of diamonds. The nine of diamonds is actually represented by a knight here. So I do see that in order for you to really work through the situation, you probably will need somebody to work with you, and that would probably be a male, okay? That will help you, because to stabilize sort of when fear and paranoia are coming in, it kind of throws everything away. When you know that somebody is working directly with you and closely, it's much easier to stay balanced. And I know it from my own life. When I get really intense things, I go to other people to read for me, for instance. I would not read for myself because I cannot be objective. So this is sort of what I recommend. I think if you're going to start working with somebody and trust that, have faith in it, is going to be very helpful for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That is a fantastic reading, Madam Nadia. Thank you for that. Let's see what Kai has to offer here and what insights he can provide us. Kai.
Sure. I first I turned to bibliomancy, and the verse I was brought to in terms of the situation definitely is in agreement with Madame Nadia. The verse is Jeremiah 29, verse 18, which reads, "And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and an hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. But I'm about to blow your mind, because when I ask Spirit what is needed here to resolve the situation, I was brought to the verse Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. I am not joking with you. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What is needed here is, I completely agree with Madame Nadia, there's an element here that is completely related to your self-esteem. Because turning to the Tarot, the Six of Wands also gives us an answer here. There's an element of your being embodied in your body, your being embodied in your role and health and vitality and self-esteem here that is crucial to you getting to the other side of this. But seeing these sevens, what it also brings to mind for me is the spells that are done in the fashion that is related to bringing down the walls of Jericho. So at first, when you said that you were having blockbuster lights lit, I thought, that's interesting. When I encounter magical attack, I don't necessarily immediately think blockbuster light. But then, having pulled these cards and these verses, I'm thinking, okay, you are really on the right track here, because there is an element here that's bigger than just protecting yourself and cleansing yourself. There is a breakthrough that is needed. And these sevens are, in my mind, in my own cosmology, are pointing me toward, again, looking at some of the spells that are related to bringing down the walls of Jericho, often including the weaving of those verses over a period of 7 days with the lighting of candles. That is, I would say, a minimum of what should take place here.
Okay, that's what I thought. I mean, I have no problems with cleansing myself. I just recently got delivered a 25-pound bag of Himalayan sea salt, so I'm stocked. I mean, I have cleansing stuff to clean the house outside. My porch is a small concrete porch, and I have a hose, so I have no problem in cleansing the entire front of the porch, the doors, the walls, the windows, the porch itself. So cleansing is not a problem for me. What I noticed on my chair at work, I noticed it looked like two round circles. Someone must have used oil or something on a cotton ball and rubbed it in on my chair. And I brought some cleansing items, and I do have some blockbuster oil too. And I added it together with some water, and I just rubbed it out, and then I thoroughly saturated it. It made a whole difference. But look, it just seems to be people that I have nothing to do with. I mean, I'm the type of person, I don't know what it is with me. Is it a neon sign? I walk in a room, I don't know anybody, and there's going to be somebody that's not going to like me. And I would not even say a word. And they'll want to just put me out.
That's a very good question, and it's something that there isn't a clear answer to, and I'll tell you why. Because there are cases, and this is all I have seen myself, where people aren't looking to cause trouble, or they're not being malicious towards others, but they're constantly getting negativity. They're constantly facing people's problems. In cases like that, it could be a spiritual condition is going on. It could be a matter of being in a wrong environment, being around people who have evil eye or who are envious. That happens. It could also be sometimes
I've dealt with that a lot.
It could also be something that's astrological, something going on in the chart that brings up these type of complications, and it's something that you have to deal with regularly.
Right.
So now the question is, what can you do to ensure it doesn't happen anymore? Right? That's the big question. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some suggestions. We've had some fantastic readings from Kai and Madame Nadia. And then I'm going to ask them to dive in and also give some suggestions on their own. First and foremost, as you mentioned, cleansing is needed. You already know how to do cleansing. You're already familiar with this type of work. You have some type of knowledge here, so that's good. Now, you're in the chat. You said I'm a healer. Is that you? Okay, now that's a very important addition here. People who do healing work or people who take on other people's burdens do attract more of this type of chaotic negativity than the average person. They also are more susceptible. This is something that I said on the radio show before.
And sorry, I have to say something, that her first card was Sword of Healing. And then she had the Sword of Destruction. So there is, you know, maybe not being able to deal with the energy that people bring to you.
Right. And that's a great point. Thank you for adding that, Madam Nadia. But being a healer and being someone who has some abilities often does make you one more susceptible and also causes you to be a little bit more of a target. People who have latent psychic abilities, for example, are often the source of they are often the target of psychic attacks. It's just being vulnerable to it. Now, you, as a healer, doubly so, because healers take on, right? They take on a burden. And so it's very important for you to have protection up. It's very important for you to have regular cleansing because you are slightly more vulnerable than the average person. And so what I want you to do is a very thorough cleansing. I don't want you to use water in this particular case. I don't need you to wash down the front porch or anything like that. I actually want you to use incense in a case like this. So I want you to get, you can use whatever incense you're comfortable with, but I would recommend Blockbuster and Jinx Killer. You get that together in incense form, light the incense, and what you're going to do is you're going to go room from room, fumigating the rooms with the incense, and you're going to pray over from with your heart, and you're just going to cleanse the house up. Okay? And you're going to keep the incense going. The house should slowly start to fill up with smoke. I recommend that you keep kind of the windows closed and everything like that. And then you're going to set this the incense in the middle of some space, your living room, your bedroom, wherever you'd like. And you're going to set it down in front of a chair. You're going to sit on the chair, and you're going to take a blanket or a large shawl, and you're going to wrap it around you and the incense very carefully. You don't want to light anything on fire, so you'll have plenty of space to do it. You want to make sure that the incense thurible or sensor is small. And you're going to make a small little teepee, okay? And you're going to make a small little enclosure, if you will, with that cloth.
Okay.
And you're going to allow the incense to waft up and touch every part of your body. And you'll feel something shift energetically. And when you feel that shift, you're going to throw off the blanket. You're going to throw off the blanket, and you're going to step over the incense and leave your house, letting the incense kind of, and again, be careful, place it somewhere safe, make sure there's no sparks going on, nothing like that. But you let the incense build, close the door, go away for at least an hour. Okay. When you come back, I want you to throw open all the doors, throw open all the windows, and what this will do is the incense will have built up. It won't even, the smoke may have died down by this point, but it's okay. The incense, the spirit of those herbs and roots and materials in the incense will have built up and built pressure within your house, right? Pushing away all the negativity, all the evil. Then you're going to open your doors and your windows and you're going to let that all rush out of your home. You're going to take that incense and you're going to dispose of it at a crossroads over your left shoulder and you're going to walk away without looking back. Okay?
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Once you've done that, now it's time for some protection. I want you to get yourself protection oil or fiery wall of protection. And you're going Perfect. You're going to do three things, okay? The first, you're going to go to each opening, windows, doors, and you're going to five-spot one, meaning that you're going to put an oil dot in each corner and in the center, and you're going to call for your protection. Next, you're going to take a small knife, small one, a brand new one, and you're going to anoint it with fiery wall of protection oil, and you're going to take that knife and you're going to stick it by your front door with the blade facing out. So you can stick it in a plant, you can stick it in planters, in dirt, but the idea is that you want it near your door with the blade facing outward. And what this will do is it will cut any negativity that is sent your way. It'll act as a guardian, as a shield to cut away that energy. The third and final thing is I want you to get yourself an evil eye charm. And you're going to get these, you can purchase these online, and you're going to anoint it with oil, and you're going to wear that on your person. So wherever you go,
okay,
you will protect it. And this creates layers of protection, shielding you from the animosity of your enemy.
So the evil eye charm.
Yes.
What oil should I use for the evil eye charm? Because I have two of them.
You can use protection oil or firewall or protection. Either will work.
Okay.
It depends on what you prefer. For
okay.
oils that you're going to wear on your body or that you're going to carry with you, I'd probably recommend protection oil. It's not as pungent, firewall of protection has a camphor ginger smell that's very, very strong, but it's entirely up to you and your own preference. Both of them will work fine in this case. Let me open this up to Madam Nadia and Kai to see what other additions they can add.
Thank you.
I think that it's absolutely brilliant, Conjurman Ali. I think that targeting the situation and building layers of protection and resistance is just the perfect thing. You cover all your bases. So I really think that that was brilliant.
Thank you. Kai, what, do you have anything to add to this or any suggestions that you could give based off of the reading that you've had?
Sure. You know, I pulled a few more cards, and I do think that, you know, I'm someone who unfortunately knows what it's like for one's gifts to also lead towards some hindrances as we learn to manage them in our culture. We don't live in a culture that really teaches us, hey, you have unique energy. This is how you're going to manage it. Instead, it's sort of like a good luck being a beacon, you know, in the world while mm-hmm. crazy, you know, energies are attracted to you. I think that the advice given by Conjurman Ali is absolutely excellent. Do take that completely. I would also suggest, I suggest the spell of the Walls of Jericho, which can be as simple as reading that chapter in the Bible aloud over a Blockbuster candle every day for 7 days. In fact, some people will read it just as the Israelites were marching around Jericho in multiples each day, doing it along that same fashion as it says in the chapter that people do so. And I would also suggest the washing of your eyes with a weak tea of eyebright, not actually getting it on your eyeballs or the mucus of your eyes, but closing your eyes, making a weak tea of eyebright, and for 7 days, simply wiping that eyebright tea over your eyes while calling on your helping spirits and saying, help me to see what I'm not seeing. As you're helping me to, you know, break down any walls, break down any structures that are causing this issue in my life, also help me to see what I'm not seeing, because in my cards and in Madame Nadia's cards, we both see that there's an element here that is related to your role as a healer, which to me often, again, comes back to this conversation of common maladies faced by spirit workers who are, you know, spirit workers in our culture who are needing to find new ways of managing and carrying their energy. And that's usually a conversation that's happening between you and your spiritual court, which is why I'm suggesting that you call on the energy of clarity by using these sort of weak teas of eyebright for 7 days alongside this Blockbuster work and seeing what's on the other side of that.
Okay.
That is a fantastic, fantastic suggestion. Thank you for that. Kai, and you're absolutely right, because someone like you, you are going to face a little bit of negativity, you are going to face a little bit of this circumstance. It's just part of being a healer, right? You're going to be exposed to it. Thank you for trusting us with your call. We do wish you all the best. Hopefully, you see the the light at the end of the tunnel. Do call back and let us know how things turn out for you. What we're going to do is we're going to have Miss Tammy Lee take us out, a brief announcement before we go on to our next caller.
And yes, sir, Conjurman Ali, and y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 646 from New York. This is Sarah, and she's calling back in with us. Sarah, are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Well, welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for calling back in to us. I'm going to go ahead and let our panel know that you are calling back in, that you called us about a year ago, and that you have either gone to Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali privately regarding your situation. You indicated both actually in the forum, okay? And she writes, I've been dating a married man for 3 years under the promise that he was going to leave his wife. Not only is he not leaving his wife, he has now betrayed me in ways that I'd rather not discuss on the air. I'm not his first affair. There have been a few before me. He's driven me to the point that I want to tell his wife everything. My question, what will happen to him if I tell? What will happen to me, meaning will Spirit punish me for the harm I would cause? Bring this back over to y'all.
All right, Sarah. Thank you for your question and trusting us with something that is quite delicate. What I'll do is I'll do the first reading, and then we'll have everyone else to jump in and see what they can see. We'll have Kai do another reading, and Kat, Madam Nadia, give her suggestions. I can understand and sympathize with what you're going through. I can understand and sympathize with the difficulty you face. And you do have a difficult decision ahead of you at what you want to do because you haven't been treated right. The very first card that I have here is the Five of Wands. The Five of Wands shows us a competition, a battle that is going on, a struggle. It shows five people with staves in their hands and they're fighting one another. Now, this represents multiple people competing against one another. So you're involved, this man is involved, his wife's involved, other individuals are involved. But it also represents an internal struggle, a struggle that you're facing with right now. Should you tell his wife? You deserve some justice too. You deserve some truth. This man deserves to be punished. But you're asking if this is the right decision for you, if this is going to be good for you, is there going to be backlash? But more importantly, backlash or punishment from Spirit is not something that I'm particularly worried about. You know, Spirit isn't this force that's out there ready to judge every single one of our actions. The real question we need to be asking is this the right decision for you? Will it help you heal? Mm-hmm. Will it be good for you? And will you be able to move on from it? So the Five of Wands tells us that this is the struggle that's going on, the struggle that's going on in the interpersonal world, the personal, the interactions between you and this person, his wife and these other people. That's that first struggle. But there's also the internal personal struggle, the emotional struggle that's going on here. So I understand and sympathize, but the question is, will this be good for you? And the answer is, I don't believe so. The Nine of Swords is the next card that I have. The Nine of Swords shows us a woman is sitting up in bed with her head in her hands, and she is crying, and there are nine swords that are hanging over her head. And there's an image of someone being stabbed on the bed itself. You have been betrayed. You have been hurt. You have been wounded, but this thing hangs over your head. There is guilt involved, fear involved, pain involved, and most importantly of all, there's also anger that is involved here. All of these things are hanging over your head and keeping you from being restless, are keeping you from finding peace. They're keeping you in a state of being reckless. But the real question is the way forward to tell, and will that remove this burden from your shoulders? Will this bring you a sense of peace? And the answer is no. The Nine of Swords is a card that is one of continued doubt, continued fear, continued hurt. If you were to tell this woman, what do you gain from it? Nothing. Sure, he'll be caught up in his actions. Sure, there'll be some sort of kind of vindication on your part. But you yourself are going to be drawn into something even bigger. And the final card that I have here is the Six of Swords. Now, it's interesting that we have two Swords cards here. This talks mm-hmm. about moving on. We have a woman who is a refugee with child. This is a sad person, a person who's dealt with difficulties and struggles. And they're now moving on. It may not be an easy process of moving on, for before her are swords, and around her the waters are murky and rocky. But in the distance, there is an island of peace. In the distance, there is hope. In the distance, there is serenity. But it only comes from leaving the past behind, as difficult as it is. I do not suggest that you do this, because the Nine of Swords indicates to me that telling will actually get you embroiled in a bigger conflict that you're not ready for. Likely you will be you will be blamed rather than him. And the Six of Swords says it's time to move on. Now, that doesn't mean you need to worry that he's going to get scot-free. He will get caught up in his own mess. Don't you worry about it. He's meddled in a lot of things and messed things up pretty badly that it's going to catch up to him. No need to worry about on that part. But what my cards and my spirit is saying, that it's time for you to move on, and that telling is not the way to move on. By revealing the truth to his wife, you're not moving on. You're simply finding yourself being caught up in drama that's unnecessary for you. The best revenge for you is to move on happily with someone else and look back and go, why did I even bother? That's the best revenge that you can have. So I am that's the reading that I have, and I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues. We're going to have Kai do the next reading, okay?
I also see some similar energies in my own cards, and I actually come to the same conclusion that Conjurer Ali has just mentioned. The card that pulled are, so beginning with the Three of Cups, a group of people, there's various individuals embroiled in the conversation, and then we come to you as a sole individual with a decision to make as the High Priestess in the center of these three cards. And much like Conjurer Ali pulling a card related to water and movement, the last card I have here is the Knight of Cups, that what you need here is healing. And not just healing and letting go of this particular man, but there's also the energy of dishonesty that's really sitting heavy with you. It's not just a walking away from this particular man, but sort of the desire and need to sort of wash away the feeling of dishonesty and shame for having found yourself embroiled in a situation with dishonesty, and a re-ownership of yourself out of that experience. I'm almost seeing this Knight of Cups approaching this river to wash himself, and then on the other side, it becomes the Nine of Coins card, the woman who is whole unto herself, the woman who truly knows her self-worth and her sovereignty. Again, much along the lines of Conjurer Ali, I believe that's saying so. You know, one's ego might be fed, and I know a bit about feeding my ego and what that feels like, but getting to the other side of an experience that's really calling you to healing and to healing a part of yourself, that's really what you want here. What you want this year is a really new experience. You want a new lover. You want to make sure that things are flowing smoothly. We're really sort of still in the first, you know, quarter, first early part of the year. Make this year great. Get, you know, cut and clear from this situation. Cut and clear from the dishonesty and shame, and then do some work to draw on something new. That is a great
May I
suggestion.
Jump in, please? Because I've been waiting very patiently.
Yes, I can. Okay. I can tell. Can actually tell.
I'm breathing there. I'm like, okay, I need to say that. I need to say that, because you know how Kai just said to the previous person, I'm going to blow your mind. I am going to blow your mind. Okay, so first thing that I want to say, that listening to you just presenting your situation, I thought to myself, why are you not thinking about fucking him up? Why are you thinking about going through his wife? And then you said something about guilt. So I clearly see that one is that he messed your head a little bit, and you are uncomfortable in either situation, and you think that the bigger punishment is going to come from his wife, because she's that big bad wolf or whatever he's been presenting her for years. Now, I drew up some cards here for you, and I got very, very, very cool cards, very interesting cards. The first card that I got is the Queen of Diamonds, which represents his wife, and then our favorite seven here, Seven of Diamonds, the Sword of Truth. And then I got the Queen of Hearts, which is you, and the Two of Hearts, which is your heart and your love. He is not even here. So what I want to tell you is that if you're going to go to his wife, you're going to realize that his wife knows everything. And in addition to that, is that it's going to feel for a little bit like you, like a relief, because I think that you're going there, what you really want to say is you want to confess for your sins. You're not even trying to fuck him over. And but it's not gonna make you feel good after that, because you'll be like, wait a second, she knew all the time and he fed me all this BS and I believe that? Forget about it. Because I truly think that moving on is the answer here, and with very similar to Conjurer Ali's, I have Six of Clubs here that says the bridge. You need to find a way to bridge the situation. You need to find a way to learn from the situation. You cannot just close your eyes and say, that never happened. And I just, you know, I had the memory loss for a few years, and now I'm moving on. You need to reconcile it within yourself and find yourself. before you're going out and finding anybody else and whatever. Because the minute you're going to do that, the minute you're going to be whole, the people are going to be coming to you. Because I think that this man, and I don't, you know, I didn't ask about the details of the relationship, but I do think that this man messed with your mind. So you stuck around, you thought that the big bad wolf is the wife, you know, that he is just a slam, he's going to leave her, everything's going to be great. And now that nine of swords that Ali was talking about, this is you sitting there all messed up, not knowing what's right, what's left, what's above, what's below. You need to sit with it, you need to grieve it, and move on.
Patterson, let's talk about specifically what root work can be done here. What type of work? Because, I mean, there's a consultation that's needed. What work can we do to help move on? What are some suggestions that you would give? Let's have Madam Nadia start with this, and then Kai and I can add our suggestions as well. What are some good ways of healing the heart, mending the heart, moving on, and more importantly, moving on happily, finding someone else, and being able to look back and go, I'm not wanting to go back.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think that there is a lot of healing of the heart that needs to happen. Maybe Hawthorne would be good. I saw with the two of hearts here and a chalice, I truly see that water, the element of water, the calmness of water, can be very, very healing. And what I would suggest doing is not to bait, to clean negative energy or to remove things or to add things, to just to sit there and find yourself. It's like looking for your own reflection, doing like beautiful, gentle bath, you know, not going hardcore, and not trying to achieve anything, just really letting yourself be in it. And I think that water is a great way to suck out of us a bunch of crap. So I think that this is what's going to happen. You're going to start taking those baths. I think you need to take 7 baths.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest doing 7 in a row every day. And putting more and more intention on yourself, focusing on yourself, on beautifying yourself, on understanding yourself, who you are now. Because every time we come out of a relationship, we're a different person, right? So focusing on that. And then I really want you to, after you're done with your bath, I want you to go every morning to the crossroads with the sunrise and leave that water there. Because that way, the healing is going to be accelerated. Because you also don't want to sit with it for 10 years, right? That is going to help all that stuff to move faster for you. Okay? I see milk in your bath. You can do goat milk. You can do coconut milk. You can do almond milk. It's really like milk. I would put a little bit of honey. You want it to be sweet. Hawthorne, you know, we were talking about it before, it's coming in here very strongly. So these are my recommendations.
Great.
That is great. Thank you very much, Madam Nadia. Do you have anything to add to that, Kai, in regards to helping her heal and move on?
I think that bath idea is truly wonderful, and I also see that Hawthorne can be a great help here as well, in terms of these heart strengthening that's needed here. Some other herbs that you might consider, perhaps in the form of a tea, if you wanted to have a tea accompany this, would be sort of like lemon for letting go, rosemary. Rosemary is such a wonderful plant for women's power and for clarity for all individuals, as well as lavender for peace. I would also suggest to make friends with orris root. Orris root is such an... Or when I see the nine...
Amen, baby, amen.
I'm seeing orris root. Orris root is such an excellent plant for helping a woman to truly know herself, worth truly find herself and pick herself up out of the rubble of an experience. It's going to be just a wonderful ally as well for that energy of moving forward toward someone new, toward a new experience, as well as bringing strength to you. So go ahead with those baths, absolutely, and get yourself an orris root. Make strong friends with it.
All right.
That's a fantastic, fantastic addition. Now, what I want to say is after you do healing work and cleansing work and you help to kind of move on emotionally, the next step is to really draw yourself a new lover or draw yourself the next wherever you want to go. It could be the permanent lover, someone who's your partner for life. It can be some fun that you have. It's entirely up to you. But I am actually one of those firm believers. I know a lot of people come from the mentality of, you need to be single for a long time. And I actually don't come from that mentality. I don't. I do think that we can move on because I believe that relationships are a process, right? And healing is a process. You're never actually fully healed in the sense that, okay, I'm done. Now I'm ready for the next day. It doesn't work that way. Life is much more in flux. Life moves on. And part of the healing process is actually moving on with someone else, right? They can help you understand yourself, how you feel, and help you move on. And so I do firmly believe that after you've done the healing work, you should do some work to draw in a new lover. And I think very simple work is needed here, not overly complex. You don't need to be doing complicated root work. You don't need to be doing anything, elaborate, because you are meant to have love in your life. That final card that I have is a very clear sign of that, of you moving on and finding something better. So you don't have to do a lot. But what I would recommend is getting yourself a pink candle, getting yourself a piece of paper, getting yourself some kundalini oil and some rose petals and some orris root and some damiana. And what you're going to do is you're going to write all that you're looking for. You're going to, in a man, in a lover, you're going to write it down on that piece of paper. You're going to turn it over clockwise and you're going to write your name over it three times. Then you're going to anoint that with the kundalini oil. You're going to put it in the four corners and in the center. You're going to place your root herbs and your roots in the center of that. Place a small cup or heat-proof cup over on top of it. Take your pink candle, inscribe it with your name and your future lover. Anoint it with your oil, the kundalini oil. Anoint it with a little bit of your sexual fluid. Put that on that cup, let it burn down as you pray from your heart, asking for new love to be brought to you. Then, once that's burned down, you're going to take that piece of paper, fold it up, place it into a flannel bag, anoint it with a little bit of your oil, and you keep that, tie it three times, and you keep that on your body. You keep that close to your heart, close to your body, wherever you go, and you ask that every step you take, this mojo bag assists in bringing you your ideal lover. You do that, and I don't sense that you will be single for long. I sense that you will find happiness. Start off with the healing work. Start off with the cleansing work. Start off with the healing of the heart, and then move on to the next stage, right, which is finding love. You don't want to spend the rest of, the year of 2015 doing the same thing over and over again. You want to actually move forward. That's an essential part of healing. A lot of people spend time, I've been doing cut and clears for 3 years. And I'm like, well, have you decided to start dating yet? No. I'm like, well, no, you have to actually go to that other stage too. That in of itself, the moving forward, is part of healing. So thank you for trusting us with your call. I do wish you all the best with that. And we are going to have a quick break, and we're going to come back to have the wonderful Kai give us a free spell, which you're all looking forward to.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candela's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And now, y'all, it's time to go to our free spell section with this week's very special guest, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York. Kai Armand, here we go. Take it away.
Thank you so much again for having me on the show. This is a very simple spell that is for the enhancement of one's creativity. And by creativity, I don't just mean for people who think, move in the world as an artist or make artwork, but for enhanced creativity in the workplace, in one's life. There's been a lot of information recently coming out about creativity and how important it is to us as human beings. And some people, of course, are a little bit afraid of that word because they feel like they don't have access to their own creativity, which is a problem because creativity is a biological human right. It's a right of being here. So the spell is it begins with taking a yellow candle and anointing it with a bit of holy oil because you're really connecting your experience of the sacred to the experience of creativity. So take some holy oil and anoint a yellow candle and also take 3 white prayer candles. And I want you to anoint these with special oil number 20, with one of my favorite oil formulas, bringing all that is good and true and lovely energetically into this work. So this, you're going to add the plants calendula, 5-finger grass, rosemary, and acacia. And you're going to take acacia and you're going to blend it with a bit of frankincense and burn this on a charcoal next to this working while these candles burn. And you're going to look in the smoke of this incense for any images that come up. Now, these might be images that are pertaining to your life, things that you need to look at that will provide some clues as to where you can be more creative. Again, we're not just talking about making art. We're talking about the importance of creativity in the workplace, the importance of creativity in the home. Or these might be images that's best for you to begin to engage with as an artist. Perhaps be to write about them or to draw them out and write these images down that you see in the incense smoke. And over the next week, think about what they mean and begin engaging with them. Now, they might, again, be a guy that works at your job and something's going to happen with him. Or they might be something that you need to be engaging with that you haven't been paying attention to that's showing up in your own life. And that's the spell, and I hope that it brings you success and happiness.
Well, that's fantastic. I love that. Now, you said something very important there, that this can be used, not just for creativity in the sense that a lot of people think about it, which is artistic creativity, but it can be creativity in the workforce and creativity in a variety of places. Would it be accurate to say that this is a work that's really aimed at drawing in inspiration, whatever form that inspiration takes?
Absolutely, absolutely, which is why there's an element of visionary embodied
right
in the spell itself.
That's fantastic. I love the way
that's
that you
work
with calendula and 5-finger grass and rosemary here. These are all very powerful allies. I do have, you know, a quick, if you can just briefly explain why you decided these particular herbs. Is this something that you developed from your connection with spirit? Is this something that you've used with other clients before?
Sure. Five finger grass, to me, it has that element of domination, and you know, the ways in which we use all five fingers. We don't want creativity. We don't want our inspiration to just be something that's sitting around in our head. We want it to be something that becomes grounded in our body. We need to take action.
Right.
And what more more actionable than our five fingers? Rosemary, bringing that energy of clarity and mental strength. Acacia as well, bringing that energy of clarity. And calendula, those beautiful yellow flowers that just open us up like a flower bud to inspiration.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yes.
Well, the calendula adds that beautiful... I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Madam Nadia said that all three of us gravitate toward domination in the chat room.
That is true.
Oh,
to a certain extent, we do. Yeah,
felt for needs of others, we will gravitate toward domination. But Acacia is...
It's a good domination, though. It's a good domination.
Yes, of course. Acacia is an awesome addition there. I love that plant, and it's so powerful, so much connected to ancestors, other realms, seeing and receiving inspiration from there is really, really a good blessing.
It's a fantastic combination, drawing in, you know, spiritual inspiration, but also grounding it. And I think that's one of the things that's excellent about five-finger grass. But it takes what's in your head and what's in spirit and manifests it with your five fingers. It allows you to produce the thing you're thinking about. The inspiration transforms into reality. It is really a fantastic, fantastic spell. And it really ties into our earlier conversation of understanding roots and herbs and plants on a deeper level, and therefore being able to kind of unlock that aspect of them. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Thank you both, and we're going to have Ms. Tammy Lee get out.
Well, thank you, Conjurman Ali and Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for filling in for our Miss Cat this week. And thank you, Kai Armand of ConjureInTheCity.com in Brooklyn, New York, for being our special guest member from AIR. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And her topic will be Dying, Death, and Rebirth. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful, blessed week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee, for that excellent outro. As always, we could not do without your wonderfully deft hand and your guidance. You are awesome. And we're glad to have
you.
Next week, Miss Cat will be back, but be sure to tune in. We wish her a safe journey and look forward to her return. Thank you all. Thank you to our wonderful guest co-host, Madam Nadia, who stepped in bravely and now sits up, as well as to the wonderful Kai Armand. You are always a great guest to have on with great discussion. Be sure, everyone, to check out the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. It is coming up. You don't want to miss out on the tickets. You don't want to miss out on the fantastic books and everything that is going to be released. It is going to be a wonderful festival. So don't miss out on it. People are hard at work, and it is a great opportunity to partake in the community. So once again, thank you everyone for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week. Have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for having me.